Today, I'll be speaking on Psalm 77, which is probably not as well known as most of the other Psalms. And it's a bit of a strange one to pick, I'd probably say. But given what Ella has said and Steve has said, I think it's needed today. So that's good. Got some confirmation that it's the right thing to say. So, for those of you who aren't aware, Psalm 77 is written by Jeduthun of Asaphath. He's a director of music like David. And most of the Psalms are, as though we read them, they're actually written as songs. So the first part of it starts out very sorrowful, very complainant, not very happy about anything going on. I am going to read it. Ooh. So from verse 1 to verse 9, it says this. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing, and I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? His unfailing love vanished forever. Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful, that he in his anger withheld his compassion? So it's not a very nice thing when you first read it. It particularly spoke to me because when it talks about thinking about the former days, I tend to do that quite a lot. Whenever things are going wrong, you just think about how good it was. It's like when you get ill, you think about how well you were and how you didn't appreciate it when you had a voice and you could sing properly. You can hear, though, he's not being silly. He's complaining about real things. He's upset and it's coming out. Now, I'm assuming it's coming out like a song because it says he's a director of music. So it's a very, very sad song. And that's how it starts. The 9 verses, it's a sorrowful declaration. God's not answering me. I'm crying out and nothing's happening. Then it says this. Then I thought, it's a good way to start after all of that. Because in all of that, he's not actually thinking. He's letting his emotions rule him. The world's coming to an end. It's all your emotions are ruling you. You're not going to get through this. And that does happen. It happens to people because we're human. And sometimes our brains switch off and our emotions turn on and you can't turn them back off again. You'd rather just sit there and cry and be upset than actually think your way through the situation. I'll give you an example of that. With my school, we tend to go on sports days, sort of centres, things like that. And in one of the days, I had to climb this tree. It was literally called the Leap of Faith. And those of you who know me, I am terrified of heights. Absolutely terrified. But my one-to-one, so the young person I look after, said that she'd do it if I did it. So to help her, I said, okay. I'll conquer my fears, I'll do it, I'll be fine. And that is what I thought would happen. I climbed up to the top of it, and then I panicked. And I mean panicked, full-blown panic attack, crying, screaming, get me off here, I can't do this. Absolutely lost it. And then, because I'm also asthmatic, I started hyperventilating, so I couldn't breathe. And it got to the point where they were actually going to call the people to come and get me down because I was not getting myself down off of there. And I could hear there was a woman below me, the instructor, and she said to me, you can do this. You got yourself up there. You can get yourself down. It's like, no, I can't. Like, you can. If you can't, though, I'll come and get you. I will. I'll get you down. But you can do this. So I'm not quite sure how. I'm assuming it was God because it was not me. I turned off my emotions, which by this point were taking over me. And I thought, I can get myself down because I climbed up here and I can climb down. I do climbing every Friday. That's how it works. You climb up and you climb back down. So I got my brain working and I climbed back down the tree. When I landed, I was greeted by kids and adults who just basically held me until I calmed down because I was in a state. But after that had all happened, God spoke to me. He said, you know, sometimes you do that with your emotions. You let everything get on top of you and you get yourself in this mess, but you can get yourself out of it. I'm there. If you need me, I am there. I will help you, but you can get yourself out of it. So at the moment, he's not thinking that. He doesn't think God's even getting him out of it. He said God's forgotten him. He's done with it. Then it says, then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago, and I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The water saw you, God. The water saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So we've gone from that to that. That is purely because he's turned off his emotions and he's thought about everything God's done. From his history, he's talking about that, Jacob and Joseph, Moses and Aaron. He's recalling everything so far in his history that God's done for him. One thing he's recalling, or mainly what he's recalling, should I say, is stuff that people had no hand in. Parting the Red Sea, Moses knows he didn't do that. All the stuff that happened, he's talking about the earth quaking and water being controlled. No human being is going to do that. So he's recounting things that only God could have done. Another thing he's doing is he's appealing. He's not complaining now. He's appealing. The word to appeal means to make a serious or urgent heartfelt request. So his tactic of complaining, God's not doing anything, isn't working. So he's now appealing. Now, when I heard the word appeal, I think about court cases, about appeals to a judge for a conviction for a person, or I think about what the police say. When a serious incident has occurred, the police will appeal for more information. That's always how it's phrased, I've noticed. This means that they didn't know exactly what had happened. They're only seeing it from one perspective, so they need other witnesses to come and show them what actually happened. Sometimes our perspective, if we're saying it through ourselves, it can appear, like Jedathan here, very bleak, frustrating because nothing's happening, or confusing because he's going back over things and how God's done everything and it's not happening for him here. When it looks like that, a good thing to do is to do what Jedathan's doing and recount what God's already done. Because why would he not do it again? After recounting all of that, why would you think he's not going to do it again? I'll tell you why. Because you're human and doubt comes in and all your emotions take over. And the devil is very, very good at using your emotions against you. Did you know that? He really is. That is why it says renew your mind. So, if anyone here is called to something, like Ella said, he will make a way for you to do it. And like Steve said, you're a child of God. You were called already. There's a quote. I love. I also love the series, but and it's from The Lord of the Rings. Those of you who know it, those of you who don't, you'll understand what I'm quoting. There's a conversation going on between two characters who've endured a battle, and I mean a battle. If you've seen it, it is a battle. One you think you would not survive. And it's not just the battle that's gone on, there's been trial after trial. At one point, there was a giant spider, for those who were terrified of them. It was not good. This is the quote. When he's talking about the battle, this is what he says. I wish it need not have happened in my time. And the other person says, who, by the way, is a very wise old man, very old, a wizard. So do I. And so do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. Now, that's not biblical, that's from a book. But I do believe that God did influence that man to write the book, because it does say, talks about time a lot in the Bible and using it wisely. The quote above is set from a man's experience of World War I. World War I was a very, very hard time. I didn't live through it, thankfully, but I know people who did. And I imagine that they wish they hadn't lived through that. And I imagine some of them had their doubts where they thought, where's God in this? One thing I noticed, though, and one thing God pointed out to me, is that throughout history, no matter what's happened, there is always someone there for the right time. Born into that time for that devastation coming. I was watching something the other day, a film about Alan Turing, for those of you who know him, called The Imitation Game. And how his brain worked was far advanced than anyone else working on that particular team when they were working against the Germans. And there's a quote at the end of the film that says they would not have won the war without him. And that is true, because of how his brain worked, and they managed to get everything that they needed. And he thought outside the box. All of them couldn't. They were all very straight-laced. No, this is how it is. And I 100% believe that God uses people. Even if you don't want to be used, God will use you. So, if you're going through something, like Ella's saying before about trials and things, and you think it's not ending, and you're like Jedithan here, crying out to God, and you're at the end of your tether, you can't think of why it's not changing. And I understand where you're at, because I've been there. Loads of people have been there, and they can attest that it is the best thing to recount everything God's done for you. Because sitting there and getting upset about it and letting your emotions rule you, you won't move. Just like me stuck on that tree, I was not moving until I stopped thinking about the situation and letting it overrule me. And I thought about, no, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is what it says. That means getting off a tree or anything else difficult that someone might be facing. That's just an example of my daily life. But the quote about time is there because we can spend a lot of our time lamenting over things, over the trials, over the stuff going on. Or we can realize that from God's perspective, he's got it all in hand. If you look back through history of everything God's done, then you have to believe that he will do the same for you. If you don't believe that, you don't believe. Simple as. Sorry, guys. If today you're looking at it from your perspective, as I was, in perfect honesty, with the stuff going on with me, and you're thinking, how on earth is this going to happen? think back to all the miracles God's done. He's thinking back to miracles that involve something no one else could have done, parting the Red Sea. I'm sure there are times in your life where God's parted a Red Sea, where something's happened and you thought, no humanly way is this possible. So we're going to play a song in a minute. If you got it queued up, please, Bert. And this is a song I turn on when I'm going through trials because it just sums up, basically, how you should handle it. And I'll be honest, like I say, we're human. We all handle it the wrong way. But when we're talking about time, stop spending all of your valuable time thinking about all the bad things that are going on. Because it doesn't do you any good. And you get stuck in that rut of emotions where you're just upset. That's how depression happens. Do you know that? That is how it happens, because they get stuck in the emotions and you cannot get them out of it. So that is why you need to renew your mind and keep thinking about all the things God's done. It's horrible right now, but it was horrible back then and I still got through it. Bert, can you play the song, please?
Still my heart and know.
That's one of his promises. Those words up there, that's why they repeat it so much. Lord, I thank you that is one of your promises. Surely love and mercy, your peace, no one else's peace, because they can't give it, and kindness will follow me. And Lord, I pray that we won't forget that as we go into this week, and we won't forget to remember all of what you've done when things get hard and when our humanity takes over us, that your spirit would take it away. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sorry. This word is for everybody, isn't it? We all have troubles. We know people that say, oh, we know we've lost loved ones. But with the word we were saying, it was like, we need to be silent, don't we? We're always too busy shouting to God, aren't we? And shouting and shouting and screaming and shouting and panicking. And in that panicking, in that shouting, we don't hear God's voice. Elijah did a mighty miracle, didn't he? With the bow, with the offering, the burnt offering, with the bull, the sacrifice. And he was full of water, you all know the story. But Elijah didn't have to strike the match, did he, to set it on fire. It was God who sent the flame, flames down, didn't he, from heaven. We don't have to strike the match. God is working in us. He's the one who's sending mercy, he's sending us peace, he's sending us healing. Because Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, I am the healer, I am the physician. He's there for us all the time, isn't he? And we need to be, in Elijah, where he's sulking and shouting at God because he's scared that Jezebel's going to kill him in the desert. God shows him, doesn't he? He says, it's not in the earthquake, it's not in the storm, the whirlwind, but it's in a still, silent voice. It's like a whisper, isn't it? We have to be still, be silent, and know that I am God. Yeah, that's what we need to do. Stop screaming, stop shouting, we need to go.